Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, this is Benjamin Solomon. This is the Omnitro El Chai radio show, broadcasting here on Blog Talk Radio. This is part two on the series about abortion and why I am against abortion. Whenever abortion is not the only way to save a woman's life, I am vehemently opposed to abortion. I am totally opposed to abortion in any case when abortion is not the only way to save a woman's life. Continuing on with the broadcast, I originally scheduled this show for 2 hours at 6:30 tonight. I know my computer is running low and stuff like that, and I also, so I decided to, I want to postpone the episode, so I scheduled this show for 11 because I'm not one of the premium users, so I can't schedule a show from 7 till 10. So now that I scheduled for 11, I decided to do 1 hour instead of 2 hours. Hold on a few minutes late, sorry about that. Let me open up the chat room, and unlike the last episode, I didn't make this an hour at least. I did not goof and make this 15 minutes like the last time because I had more to say than just 15 minutes. Now, this show, I'm going to be explaining why I think abortion, when it is not the only way to save a woman's life, which is at least 99.99999999% of the time, is murder. And abortion is genocide. It's ableist genocide. We see that babies with disabilities in the mother's womb are particularly targeted because we have these prenatal testings. And one of the most dangerous places for a person with a disability to be in is the mother's womb because you have these prenatal testings. And you have a genocide, particularly against babies with disabilities in the mother's womb by the abortion industry. There was no Republican war against women. That was a lie by Obama and the far left to get Obama reelected. The real war is the war by the abortion industry against people with disabilities. By the way, the chat is now open, so if you're listening live to me right now on your computer from the episode page, if you want to create a chat, you have to reload the page. As I explained in the last episode, for instance, babies with Down syndrome, whenever they usually society, if there's a suspicion of a baby in the womb having Down syndrome or having any other disability, society would pressure the woman to go through prenatal testing. After the prenatal testing is done and the test positive, doctors and society then pressure the woman to abort. And as a result of that, more than 90% of babies with Down syndrome are aborted. Completely a holocaust abortion is completely a holocaust. I hate, I'm Jewish. I don't want to use Nazi rhetoric to describe abortion, but let's call it out as it is. Abortion is genocide. It's ableist genocide and it's murder. As I said, abortion, when it's not the only way to save a woman's life, which is at least 99.99999999% of the time, is murder. Just wanted to reiterate that point. Now, returning back to the topic, because, I goofed and scheduled the last episode for 15 minutes. Because I don't know if I forgot the whole chat room message. So, as I said, the chat room is open. So, if you want to appear in the chat room and you're listening back to me right now on your computer on the episode page, just reload and you're in the chat room. There, I said it. Now, going back onto the topic at large, I goofed and scheduled the last episode for 15 minutes. I know I said that a lot, but let me now expand on that. Because I did an extra 15 minutes in the archive, and then BTR cut me off right when I was in the middle of making my point, you know, because I was refuting the argument. The last episode where I was, where BTR cut me off, I was refuting the argument that the argument by the pro-choice and the pro-abortion camp, you know, that says, what about, let's say, what about like if the child is too much of an economic burden for the parents? You know, that argument. Oh, you know, you notice that the pro-abortion and the pro-choice movement speaks of children, speaks of babies as burdens. Oh, they shouldn't be burdened with a child. Oh, you know, I'm telling you, human society is becoming more desensitized to bloodthirsty murder. When we're now speaking of the weak, when society is now speaking of the weak as burdens, you see it specifically with these quote-unquote mercy killings and with these pulling of the plug and this assisted suicide. People, the disabled, and the weak are being treated as if they're disposable burdens to society. And people, to make themselves, and particularly these doctors and people, to make themselves feel better supporting this, they say, oh, well, they're going to have a miserable quality of life. Let's take them out of their misery. Like what? Like they're dogs in a pound, pretty much? Take them out of their misery because you're having such... Because why? Because other people say that their quality of life is inferior, so let's take them out of their misery. It's ridiculous. I mean, this is what happens when we have godlessness prevailing. You have human life being treated as if it's disposable. You know, the Torah, Sefer Bereishit, the book of Genesis, the first book of the Torah, of the written Torah, of the five books of Moses, and also, you know, the first book of the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh as well. I mean, the Tanakh includes the Torah, and also the first book of what Christians call the Old Testament specifically says that humans were created, Betzalam Elohim, in God's image. Now, with this rebellion against godliness, we see human life is seen as more disposable. The sanctity of human life is being belittled right now. We have arguments like the woman's so-called right to choose. When I was cut off Thursday night I did this show. Two nights ago when I was cut off, what happened was, I was making the point about, like, repeating the argument about by the pro-choice movement of what if the child is an economic burden. I was repeating that argument. What if the child is an economic burden? You know, because, like, oh, what if they can't afford to raise the child, or what if the child is an economic burden for the family or whatnot? You know, and as I said, and when I made that point, I said, one choice they have is adoption. If they really feel like they can't raise a child, then find an adoption agency and have that child adopted, not aborted. But also, here's another point I wanted to make that I didn't get to make because I was cut off. You know, one of the arguments for keeping slavery, you know, it's the same thing, economic reasons. You know, one of the arguments for abortion, the child is an economic burden. One of the arguments for keeping slavery, during the days of slavery, the South, during the days of slavery, depended on slavery for its economy. Slave owners' success, because they're slaves. The South, during the days of slavery, depended upon the South's economy during the days of slavery depended upon slavery. And so freeing the slaves would have been, quote unquote, an economic burden for the South. It would have hurt the South economically. And that's why the South wants to continue slavery, for economic reasons. Because basically it's the same thing. Human life was seen as disposable. The slaves' lives were devalued and belittled. And as a result of that, they were able to sacrifice the slaves' freedom and treat them as property in order for, like, the benefit for the quote-unquote common good, for the so-called benefit of the common good. That was the same thinking during the days of slavery. So therefore, for this argument of the child being an economic burden is therefore a bad argument. You cannot kill somebody because you see somebody's existence as a burden for society or as a burden for the family. You cannot do that. Period. But that's the problem. Abortion is seen for the woman's success or for the family's success. It's not even always the woman who wants the abortion. Sometimes it's the man who wants the abortion because the man doesn't want to be quote-unquote pregnant with the child either. So it's not really only a problem with women. You cannot murder somebody in the womb because that child would pose a quote-unquote economic burden. Just like even though the South's economy largely depended upon slavery, slavery was still wrong, and slavery still needed to be abolished. Period. You can't treat human life as disposable for the advancement of the quote-unquote common good. You know, I mean, that's the problem. Then comes the argument, oh, well, people, the pro-life movement is imposing their religious values. Look. If I say if I say murder is wrong, am I imposing my religious values? If I say stealing is wrong, am I imposing my religious values? If I say you gotta treat the weak well and you gotta take care of the weak, am I imposing my religious values? To say that human life is not disposable, how is that imposing religious values? And let me say, the pro-life movement today. I mean, they are secular pro-life activists, but leaving that aside, the pro-life movement today is about as religious as the abolitionist movement was during the days of slavery. The abolitionist movement was influenced by the idea in the Torah, in the Bible, that says that man was created by God, Betzalom Elohim, Elohim, in God's image. The abolitionist movement was largely influenced with that way of thinking. So therefore, you know, and the abolitionist movement believed that much of the abolitionist movement, which was influenced by that way of thinking, they therefore did not believe that people should be treated as property, and that's why they wanted to get rid of slavery. So therefore, was the abolitionist movement imposing their religion on the slave owners? So should slavery be legal because the abolitionist movement was merely imposing their religious and moral values on the slave owners? I mean, that's the question here. This whole idea that people can do whatever they want in the name of the right to privacy, and there is no clause of the right to privacy in the Constitution either. You see, that was something made up with Roe versus Wade. You see, these liberal politicians and these liberal courts, they make up these stupid phrases to advance their agenda. And they repeat it again, again, again. You know, Joseph Goebbels, a Nazi propaganda minister, said, repeat a lie more than once and people will believe it. They make up their own phrases, repeat it again, 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 and people think, oh, that must be so. Like, the right to privacy in the Constitution. There is no clause, the right to privacy. That's number one. There is nothing in the Constitution that allows for abortion. There is nothing in the Constitution that allows for the murder of the baby in the womb. But that was the thinking of Roe versus Wade, which allowed abortion on demand. And then ever since, there was a systematic genocide against the babies in the womb, where, you know, the most safe place for a baby to be became the most dangerous place for a baby to be, the mother's womb. It's like now human life right now, you know, it's like human life, they have to risk their life to be able to live. Because when they're in the mother's womb, they're seen as disposable. It's not really a baby. It's a blood clot, they tell us. It's just a group of, it's a clump of cells. It's not really anything. Never mind that, like, actually there was ultrasound showed it was a real baby in there. You can feel the heartbeat. I mean, there's a heartbeat in there. You can clearly see pictures in, like, the womb, and you can clearly see it's a pretty developed baby. I mean, you can see that clearly. And another thing is, actually, sometimes pregnant women feel the baby kicking in their stomach. Sometimes women who are pregnant feel the baby in the womb kicking. So if the baby in the womb is kicking and has a heartbeat and has, you know, and you can see clearly it's pretty developed, it clearly is a human life in there. It clearly is a human life in there. We live in a society right now where you can do, where freedom is seen as freedom to be immoral, freedom to, like, you know, like to even hurt other people and to treat people as if they're disposable. But look, I believe in freedom and I believe in democracy, but I believe that there's a certain moral code that man has to live up to. And I strongly believe that it's man's obligations to follow the Noahide laws, the seven laws of Noah. And one of those laws is don't murder. And one of those laws is another one of those laws is don't steal. And that law says to set up courts to as well, to enforce justice. I mean, the Noahide laws are the laws of how man can live up to God's expectations. Now, the Jewish people, who are supposed to be God's representatives on earth, and the Jewish people are the ones who are supposed to bring the Shekhinah down to earth by doing mitzvot and by following the Torah. Now, the Jewish people have 613 mitzvot commandments. But we're turning back to the argument, as I said. Abortion, when it's not the only way to save a woman's life, is murder, pure and simple. Pure and simple. And there's nothing in the Constitution that allows for the systematic murder, the systematic genocide of babies in the womb. Nothing in the Constitution allows for that, as I said. There's no clause called right for privacy that says that women can systematically murder their babies in the womb. I mean, it really is that simple. And let's face it also, you know, I mean, and let me give you an example of how, you know, we already have. I mean, we people, even though I think morality is going downhill, but deep down there's an understanding that a certain moral code we have to live by. Like we got to treat people fairly as well. Like, we can't just do whatever the heck we want to the point where we just, you know, where we're unfair to other people and where, you know, I'll give you an example. The Civil Rights Act of 1965 specifically says, like, when it comes to employment, the employer is not allowed to refuse to hire somebody because of the applicant's skin color, or the applicant's religion, or the applicant's race, or the applicant's ethnic group. I mean, the employer is not allowed to do that. But the thing is, aborting babies with Down syndrome is worse than not hiring somebody because of that person's skin color. And let me explain why. Because if an African American is not hired because of his skin color, he can go to the courts and sue. Now, the baby when the mother tests for Down syndrome and the prenatal testing tests positive, the baby who ends up getting aborted because of his or her condition, because he or she happens to have Down syndrome, the baby doesn't get refused a job. Worse, the baby gets murdered. That's number one. Then number two, unlike the person refused a job because of his or her skin color or race or ethnicity or whatever, the baby has no access to any Supreme Court. And that's the important point that needs to be made. And so, specifically, when you have people aborted for disabilities, it's the same kind of discrimination as if employers refuse to hire somebody because he or she is black. But with abortion, it's more murderous. It's just more murderous. That's the only difference. But it's the same type of discrimination. And let's not pretend otherwise. Because all these people who support aborting, all these people who use what if the fetus is disabled as an argument for allowing abortions, specifically in cases of when the fetus is disabled. I mean, you know, whenever it comes to people calling out people who make those arguments lie behind and say, oh, no, we're not really devaluing disabled people's lives. We're not really doing that. We're just saying, you know, it's not really murder and whatnot. If you're making arguments, if one of your arguments is that what if the fetus has a disability as an argument for allowing abortion, you are therefore devaluing and belittling the lives of people with disabilities. And you know what? And I'm sick and tired of people putting their heads in the sand and pretending that they're not doing that. You have like Richard Dawkins, you know, who is one of the most well-known neo-atheists. Richard Dawkins actually stated that Richard Dawkins actually had the nerve to say that not aborting babies with Down syndrome is immoral. No, Richard Dawkins, aborting babies with Down syndrome is immoral. But as Richard Dawkins said that if the baby has Down syndrome, that the baby in the womb has Down syndrome, then the mother is morally obliged to abort that baby. That's what Richard Dawkins said. And then when he was called out for it, you know, he was saying, you know, and then when he was called out for his pro-eugenic statement, because that's what it really is, eugenics, because that's what eugenics is, you know, wanting to get rid of the quote-unquote undesirable population and only allow quote-unquote desirable people to live. It's basically the foundation for the Nazi ideology. Basically, it's the foundation of the Nazi ideology, and you see it today, and you see it lodging today with the pro-abortionist movement. I'm not saying that abortion in and of itself is as bad as Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany is the most extreme example, but abortion is a miniature version of it. But as Richard Dawkins said that it's immoral to not abort babies with Down syndrome. And, you know, and Richard Dawkins, who represents a godless vision, clearly has his morality backwards. I think it's immoral to abort a baby with Down syndrome. I think if whether the baby has Down syndrome or not, the mother is obliged to not abort the baby. because abortion is murder. It's really that simple. And aborting a baby with Down syndrome is worse than not hiring somebody because that person is black. And I have no problem saying it. If you, I mean, I know it's politically incorrect, but I frankly don't give a shit, pardon my language. I don't give a crap. Time people be blunt and stop pussyfooting around. Because you have, like, the soft patronizing attitudes allowing abortion. And the people who believe this stuff about aborting people with disabilities and belittling people with disabilities' lives, and they pretend that they're not doing that. You know, there's a word for that. It's called cowardice. I mean, those people who make those arguments are cowards. And when they get called out, they're, you know, too afraid to own up to what they're really saying. And so then they hide behind something. No, we're not really saying that. No. It's just so beyond ridiculous. Pretty much the most dangerous place for a person with a disability to be in is the mother's womb. That's period. Because of this murderous industry known as abortion. Beyond ridiculous. These people who support prenatal testings and abortions, they want to get all paid, and they want to act like, oh, you know, we're not really saying this stuff. You are. They'll deny that they're promoting eugenics when by supporting prenatal testings and by supporting abortion, if those testings test positive, if you support that, you support eugenics. Because you support getting rid of the quote-unquote undesirable population and only allowing people whose quality of life you approve of to live. And that is eugenics. But they want to deny that they support eugenics because, oh, eugenics is a bad word. But those positions are, those positions make me want to puke. I mean, those positions are eugenics. I mean, those positions are, I mean, these I mean, these positions are morally twisted positions, to say the least. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you're too much of a coward to own up what you really support and own up what you're saying, then do me a favor and don't support abortion. And you can save millions of lives by shutting up. By shutting your stupid mouth. There you go, I said it. Shut the heck up. The denial and the putting your hand in the sand is so amazing. You know, the abortion industry engages in gaslighting, because that's what this is. When you devalue people's lives and then you deny that you're devaluing their lives, hey, try to rationalize what you're saying because you're a coward. You know, you engage in gaslighting. You try to construct your own reality that makes no sense. You know, it's really gaslighting. And I have no problem saying that abortion should be illegal in every case, except when it's clearly the only way to save a woman's life. I have no problem saying that. Abortion should be against the law in every case, except if it's the only way to save a woman's life. I have no problem saying that. And I have no problem imposing my values on other people either. Because, you know, I have no problem with that. Because, you know, treating people with respect, taking care of the weak, saying that society should take care of the weak. And saying that it's wrong to treat people as disposable, because I believe that God created human beings, B'Tselem Elohim, in God's image. I have no problem saying that, and I have no problem imposing those values on other people. Just like Frederick Douglass and the abolitionists had no problem imposing their values on the slave owners to try to get rid of slavery. I mean, it's really that simple. Moral relativism is stupid. There is a moral code that people have to live up to. There is a moral code that people have to live up to. the abortion industry engages in eugenics and is guilty of mass murder. Oh, that's okay, because as long as they make money, as long as they make money, that's all that matters. You know, whenever people who are pro-life try to, try to persuade pregnant women not to carry out the abortion, the pro-life people always get accused of harassing the woman. And yet the woman gets nothing but pressure from like the abortionist movement and by many to carry out the abortion. Seen as okay to arm twist women and to coerce women to carry out abortions. But if anybody tells the woman that abortion is a bad idea, then all that person's harassing the woman. It's like just so ridiculous. The trouble people go to support abortion, the woman's right to choose is really trying to get the woman to perform abortions, and it's really a way to kill more babies. I mean, that's all it is. It's, you have these far leftists, they care so much about endangered species. They can't touch an eagle's egg. But you're allowed to abort, you're allowed to murder millions of babies in the womb. Why is that? And you see this sick mentality in the Noah movie too. I mean, I understand Hollywood, you know, they add scenes to be more entertaining and they don't try to stay exactly true. I mean, I understand all that, you know. And I remember I'm a postmodernist, well, a Jewish one, actually ridiculing me, because I was basically saying at the Noah movie, you know, it's just leftist and stuff, and like saying how it doesn't stay true to the values of the story. And he was saying, well, what do you expect? It's Hollywood. Of course, they're not going to stay exactly true. Well, you know. And maybe ridicule is, whatever it was, but, you know, that was like the argument. But the thing is, I understand that movies are, you're supposed to entertain. And they are going to add scenes and fictionalize. You got to expect that. But it's one thing to add scenes and fictionalize and entertain and stay true to the, as long as they're staying true to the values, I'm fine with that. But if they totally twist the values, you know, if they totally twist the values in order to promote this far leftist agenda, that's another, you know, in the Noah movie, for instance, Noah actually threatened to kill his baby grandchildren if they happen to be girls. Why? Because girls get pregnant and have more babies. That's why. And according to the movie, Noah wanted to have the human race extinct. Even though there's no indication that Noah had that view in the Bible. In the movie, Noah is portrayed as someone who is so against killing animals that he wants humans wiped out. And there's no indication of that in the Torah. In fact, after the flood, Noah offered animal sacrifices that were pleasing to God. And Hashem, God, said that the aroma of the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, was pleasing to him. That's what we see here. See, such a big move by the far left to save endangered species, and yet one of their arguments for abortion is, oh, the world is overpopulated, so we've got to have more, so therefore we've got to have more babies killed to try to have less humans. You know what that's called? Self-eugenics. Eugenics against our own species. Abortion is murder. And I am appalled by the fact that most Jews in America support abortion and overwhelmingly And Jews in America are disproportionate among those funding Planned Parenthood and funding the abortion industry. The disproportionate amount of funds for Planned Parenthood and the rest of the abortion industry comes from left wing secular American Jews and far left wing non Orthodox Jews. They overwhelmingly support Planned Parenthood and they overwhelmingly support abortion, and they overwhelmingly think that abortion is not is not a big deal, and that's merely about a woman's right to choose. Well, you know, as I said, you can't do whatever you want to the point where there are no rules, because you're not allowed to steal from somebody, and you're not allowed to murder somebody. Although apparently the law against murdering somebody only applies to people outside of the womb. That is, if the baby survives being in the mother's womb, which is a more dangerous place, thanks to Planned Parenthood and the rest of the abortionist industry. The mother's womb is the most dangerous place for a baby to be right now. It clearly is. Let's make no mistake about it. I have no problem imposing my views on abortion on others. Just like I have no problem imposing my views on slavery on others. I have no problem telling other people slavery is wrong and you should not be allowed to own slaves and that there should be laws against slavery. I have no problem with that, and nobody has any problem with that. And I have the same thing with abortion. When abortion is clearly not the only way to save a woman's life, I think abortion should be against the law, and I have no problem imposing those views on other people, because I want to save babies. That's the thing. I want to save babies. I care about saving lives more than I do about whether people should have the choice to do this or to do that. I think the sanctity of human life is the biggest sanctity in the world, and that's the basic component of any moral system, respects the sanctity of human life, respects the concept in the Torah that says that humans were created, B'Tselem Elohim, in God's image. The basic sanctity of human life is the basic component of any good, decent, moral code. Any belief system that says that human life is disposable, you know, I mean that belief system has no morality to it. And it's not, oh, it's your views versus their views. No. The belief system that respects the sanctity of human life will always be superior to the belief system that treats human beings as if they're disposable. It really is that simple. And if you think that view of mine is imposing my views on others, then you want to know what? Then by your standards, I'll gladly be imposing my views on others. If you think that, then that's just tough luck for you. I'll gladly go there and impose those views on others. The sanctity of human life is the most basic component of any moral code, period. No buts or ifs or ands, period. As I said, the abolitionists were not pussyfooting around when they said that slavery should be illegal and that slavery should be abolished. They were not saying, we're personally against slavery, but we don't want to impose our values on the other slave owners. No, none of that. Specifically the ones who believed, look, humans were created, that's all Elohim in God's image, and therefore people should not be treated as property. They were not saying, well, that's our personal religious beliefs, but we don't want to impose our religion on the slave owners. They should have the right to choose on whether to own slaves or not. There was none of that nonsense. And then there should be none of that nonsense with abortion either. Abortion is murder. Make it illegal, period. End of story, period. Abortion is baby killing, it's genocide, and criminalize abortion. It's about time we do it. Whenever abortion is not needed to save the woman's life, just criminalize abortion across the board, period. End of story, period. And if you're going to complain, oh, Ben Solomon, host of the Am Yisrael High radio show, is imposing his values on me, I mean, if you're going to make that complaint or he's imposing his values on the people, then all I can tell you is tough shit, tough fucking shit, pardon my language. Political correctness really is a mental illness for the brain. Political correctness really is a stupidity. Okay, you see that, like, you know, political correctness just shuts down discussion. It's all about, you know, somebody like liberals saying we're offended, and then it's enough to shut down discussion. Oh, you just engage in hate speech. I mean, I'm not denying that there is hate speech. But when the political correctness run amok, when they say you engage in hate speech, and it's enough to shut the discussion down. No debate, none of that. No debating of the merits of the points. No critical thinking. Just, oh, you offended me, so shut that discussion down. I don't believe that abortion is a woman's right. Just like I don't believe that killing a baby outside of the womb in your own house is a woman's right or a man's right or any right. I mean, there's a saying, you heard this from Ron Paul, though I'm no fan of Ron Paul. I think his foreign policy sucks, but well, when I was surfing the internet, it's actually from a while ago. Ron Paul, I think even one time made the point where, you know, where your home is your castle, but you have no right to kill your baby in your home. I mean, there are laws that say that forbid certain actions. And one of those actions that those laws forbid is murder. You're not allowed to kill your own baby in your home. And it's not nobody says killing your baby should be a right. Nobody says killing your baby. Nobody in the right mind would say that killing your baby in your own home should be your right because it's your own home. No. Killing your baby is against the law, period. Period. End of story, period. I mean, it's really that simple. As I said, there's certain things you can't do because we recognize the reason why we have laws and we enforce those laws because we recognize that, you know, that there are certain actions that just have to be forbidden. Murder should be forbidden. Stealing should be forbidden. Rape should be forbidden. There's certain evil that we as a society cannot tolerate. It's really that simple. To choose on whether to murder. It's not your right to choose on whether to steal. It's not your right to choose on whether to rape. They're all illegal. And they should be illegal. I mean, that's the point that needs to be made. The person's right to choose should never take priority over the sanctity of life. The sanctity of life always has to come first for any decent moral code to work. That's the basic principle of the Torah. And yes, I'm going to be bringing religion into this. And I don't care if you think I'm imposing my religious views. If you think that me affirming the sanctity of human life is imposing my religious views, then you have a real problem here. Look, when Hashem God created man, created human beings, the Torah specifically makes it clear that humans were created Betzelem Elohim, in God's image. And that's the basic principle of the Torah in order to affirm the sanctity of human life. To say, human life is not disposable. You cannot kill the weak. You cannot kill the disabled. You cannot kill people who need more support. And you cannot kill people who you see as burdens. Because that violates the basic principles of the Torah, and that violates the basic principles of the seven laws of Noah, which were given to non-Jews. I mean, it's really as simple as that. the sanctity of human life comes first. And well, another thing I was going to say as well is, I also want to say that Judaism is not a pro-choice religion. And while I'm against Jews assimilating into non-Jewish society, I also want to say that I believe that Jews and people should stay true to their own principles. And Judaism and Christianity, they disagree on the Jesus question. They have disagreements, but they also have a lot in common. Judaism and Christianity both agree about the fact that human beings were created Betzalam Elohim, in God's image. Because the Christian religion also affirms the written Torah and the Tanakh as divinely inspired as well. So Christians and Jews both agree that human beings were created Betzalam Elohim, in God's image. And I know, like, some liberal Jews, like, want to be pro-choice because they don't want to sound like the quote-unquote crazy Christian conservatives. And they want to sound like, oh, we're not like them. We don't want to sound like the Catholics. We don't want to sound like the evangelicals. But look, where the Christians are right, Jews should join them. And where the Christians are wrong, Jews should not join them. For instance, I still don't believe that Jesus is God or the Messiah. And I don't think Jews should believe that either. Now, that's one big disagreement between the Jewish religion and the Christian religion. But when it comes to affirming the sanctity of human life, when it comes to the basic concept of the Torah, that man was created Betzalam Elohim, in God's image, Judaism and Christianity are in complete agreement. And therefore, because of that, and because God says that, and because the Torah says that, man has the obligation to behave that way, to have that basic concept as part of their moral, to have that basic concept, to have that be a basic concept of their moral values. Humans, people have an obligation to have the concept of the sanctity of human life embedded as the basic concept of their moral values. And part of having that basic concept, I think, includes defending the rights of the unborn. That's my view, and I know people may disagree, but that's what I strongly believe. Rabbi Asher Meza, I'm not endorsing him, but he said something that I agree with. Like in his video, his video is about abortion, I fully agree with. Rabbi Asher Meza said that Jews, instead of trying to show how they're different from Christians in terms of being more pro-abortion, that Jews should join Christians in protesting outside of abortion clinics against abortion. And I have to agree with Asher Meza there. I have to fully agree. Because I think affirming the sanctity of human life is the most important thing. It's the most important thing. Both Jews and non-Jews alike are obliged to affirm the sanctity of human life and to have that as the basic component of their moral code. Even the Noahide laws, I think, obligate that, because one of the laws of the Noahide laws is don't murder. And so the Torah says that man was created Betzalam Elohim, and man, both Jews and non-Jews alike, And people, both Jews and non-Jews alike, have to understand that that humans were created in God's image. And they have to have the sanctity of human life as the basic component of their moral code. There is a moral code out there. There is absolute moral values that people have to live up to. And there is a God to follow. You see, human beings, we're not totally animalistic. That's the thing about, like, the secular far-leftist atheists. They want to believe, oh, we don't believe in any of this superstition, or we don't believe in any of the in any of this supernatural stuff, or we don't believe in magic. We believe in science, and we're more advanced, and we're more modern and stuff. But the far leftist atheist viewpoint is the ultimate magic out there. This idea that some unconscious singularity, the whole universe, to come to being, and that we came from nothing. This whole complex universe, and the fact that that we exist, and that we were able to survive, then what we as humans were able to survive all those years, was just chance and randomness. It was just the roll of a die. It was just luck, and it was some unconscious singularity that caused this whole complex universe to come to being. Now, ultimately, that very idea is magic. That very idea is magic, that some unconscious singularity can cause this whole universe and this whole, and Earth and all these planets to come to being just by some unconscious singularity that's happening to cause that is ultimately magic. And it makes no sense either. There clearly was a creator who created the universe. There was a creator who created the universe and who created this planet and who created the whole and other planets and who created the whole universe. There clearly is a creator who created us. There clearly is a God. And there's clearly a moral code that God expects man to live up to. Now, as I said, the Jewish people are the ones who are tasked specifically with bringing God's presence, the Shekinah, down to earth. But even non-Jews have a moral code to live up to. The seven laws of Noah was the moral code that God gave to mankind. That's just the Jewish people were chosen to be the ones to be a light unto the nations, as what the prophet Yeshayahu Isaiah said. But that wasn't Isaiah's idea. That was actually the Torah's basic concept, that the Jewish people were to be God's representatives. And by following the Torah and by doing mitzvot, the Jewish people are to bring the Shekhinah, God's presence, down to earth. But ultimately, though the Jewish people are ultimately God's representatives, but the important point that needs to be made is there is a moral code that man is expected to live up to, and not murdering is part of it. And you can't do whatever you want when it involves hurting people. You can't. And I'm an archive, that's all I want, but that's what I'm going to say, so now I'm out.